The person I'm going to introduce you today was born in Limerick City. He was raised in County Kerry, in Douai. He was educated in Listowel. And at university in Trinity College Dublin, he read French and English. And then he emigrated. He went to Seville in 1988. Where he taught English and worked as a translator and interpreter. And he came back to Ireland in 1995. He settled in County Clare. He works as a web developer, a programmer, and an adult education teacher. This is my conversation with him.
Complete, what do they call it, freestyling or something?
Yeah, play it by ear.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sitting here with a glass of red wine beside me, by the way.
Okay, well, I don't drink anymore.
Well, today I have the pleasure of the company of a poet, Patrick Stack, who will introduce himself in a minute. To put this in context, Culture Time, the radio programme, goes out once a week, and we have about 10 minutes to discuss a huge topic under the general heading of culture. I'd like to bring up and take into account a topic that is usually repressed within our culture. The topic I want to bring up is rage. It's generally frowned upon to express your anger very, very clearly. It's as if that all ended with the French Revolution and we shouldn't really be expressing our anger anymore. Or perhaps we were allowed to do it during the Russian Revolution. Or maybe even the American Civil War, but maybe even the First and Second World War. But now we live in a time of peace and rage is inappropriate. So this is why I want to talk to Patrick Stack, who's just recently brought out a collection of poetry called Rage. Patrick, good to speak to you. Can you tell me, what is this thing about rage?
Great to speak to you too, Paul. Well, I think you know Johnny Rotten of the Sex Pistols. After the Sex Pistols broke up, he started a new band called Public Image Limited. In their first album, he had this amazing song that went, "Anger is an energy, anger is an energy," which I think is very appropriate. But what you've just said about rage and anger is true. We've been taught since children to repress our anger, not to show it. And of course, that leads to big problems because anything that you repress and bottle up, it can become stagnant and it festers in the dark and eventually it explodes.
So when a poet decides, I'm not going to suppress it any longer, I'm going to actually not only express my rage, but I'm going to make it the title of my next collection of poetry. Is he engaging in therapeutic activity?
Well, I can only speak for myself. And yes, it was therapeutic in my case. Yeah, I think looking back, I've always been angry that the world is like it is. And my sense of justice, I have a very acute sense of justice. And when I look at the world around me, that sense of justice is insulted by what's going on in the world. And that's where some of the anger comes from.
You have a poem called Recollection in this collection, Rage, and it's short and sweet. And I do want to get you to read one or two bits, but I want to read this bit because it certainly resonates with me. And, you know, in the context of rage, it's very interesting. Called Recollection. A penny for the black babies, it said on the box. San Martin de Poires, robed, perched on the counter beside the till, a black miracle, devoid of the sanctity of candles, a fluke, and I a child still. What do you have to say for yourself?
Very well read, Paul. Well, yeah, it's a childhood memory that I had in the 60s when I was 8 or 9, I suppose. And it came to me. And what can I say about it? It's just a childhood memory, but it's more than that. It's the fact that, you know, the line that says, a black miracle.
Yes.
There's some irony or sarcasm in there because the San Martin de Porres was actually black. And a saint was exceptional because black people, you know, were looked down upon. There were black babies.
Black was Lucifer's color, wasn't it?
Hmm?
Black was Lucifer's color.
Also, yeah. And the blacks were the slaves, of course. And then the poor black babies, oh, a penny for the black babies. And of course, that was around the time of Biafra as well. And you had on the television screens, you had all of the terrible things that went on in the Biafran War. You know, the images of little children with their bellies distended because of starvation.
Yes, and you know, looking at throughout all of these poems in the book Rage, which is published by Revival Press in Limerick, and I'll call out the ISBN number before the end of the programme so that people can buy it if they want to. But I was thinking to myself, you know, I went looking around my house to see, and I have quite a lot of poetry books, and I thought to myself, is look, you know, what poems do I know in which the poet in an uninhibited manner expresses rage? And I thought, well, there's hardly any that I can think of. I thought of Dylan Thomas raging against the dying of the light.
The dying of the light, yes.
And I thought to myself, look, poets have sublimated rage. In other words, you know, dealt with rage in a really subtle way that is accessible as a private language, perhaps. There's huge symbolism and perhaps even classical references. But your poetry doesn't contain lots of classical references. And would you pick a pretty vicious piece out of it to kind of give the listeners, you know, the flavour? Pick a strong bit yourself and, you know, let's hear the rage in its fullness, please.
From the Day the Revolution Came, which is the longest poem in the book, and it's about revolution, an imagined revolution in Ireland. I'll read maybe about 20 lines, if that's okay.
That's fabulous, so long as they're really powerful.
Yeah, well, I'll read the first canto. The day the revolution came, we attacked and sacked the parochial houses first, knowing them to be the enemy's ears and eyes. My heart was fit to burst with pride and joy in our just cause as humans, equal in everything as we are in flesh. And then we marched upon the palaces, for that is what the archbishops call their residences, and we demanded retribution for their crimes. But seeing no retribution was forthcoming from the devious, battered servants of the Vatican, we exacted the retribution of the people and stripped the fuckers naked and hung them high as befitting their exalted state by their heels from the nearest lamppost or tree. My heart was fit to burst with pride and joy in our just cause as humans, equal in everything as we are in flesh. They squealed like stuck pigs. Some screamed, nor did they call upon their God to save them, but seemed irremediably lost, confounded by the pain, a pain they'd oft times preached about, but never felt, nor ever dreamed they'd feel in their own flesh. Rather was it an instrument for sowing fear among their so-called flock, as if we were sheep, fear of what would happen were we to dare live by our own lights, take our own counsel, ignoring the siren call of paradise, which invariably seats one at the right hand of their Lord, promising all, but never, ever having to deliver. Fuck the Lord, we are all equal here. He who would be master, let him hang. He who would be a servant, he is a slave already. My heart was fit to burst with pride and joy in our just cause as humans, equal in everything as we are in flesh.
Well, I mean, that certainly isn't Oscar Wilde in Reading Jail, even though you do employ some of the same techniques as Oscar Wilde, repeating lines. But my goodness, I mean, saying fuck the Lord and saying, you know, images like stuck pigs and calling archbishops guilty of crimes. I mean, this is rage, man. This is not holding back. This is not using particular poetic techniques, which are not what's taught to children at school.
No, but I mean, the problem in our country, as you know, is that there was too much holding back, and all the awful things that the Catholic Church in particular is responsible for. Nobody has ever been brought to book. I think one of the most heinous crimes is to abuse a child, sexually abuse a child, because it's with them for the rest of their lives. And these people that did this, not only did they get away with it, but their bosses, the archbishops and the cardinals, hid it. It's outrageous.
Patrick,
would not be enraged by something like that.
Well, exactly. And there's the point I want to sort of leave people to think about. If you're not outraged by that sort of thing, you know, what are you? Where is your humanity is kind of what comes through my mind. But the final question I want to ask you is more a political one than anything else, Patrick. I mean, this is not an ordinary collection of poetry, and I couldn't go to my local bookshop and find, you know, another 20 volumes of Irish poets, you know, railing against, you know, bankers, you know, priests who've raped, bankers who've raped, civil servants who have colluded, politicians who have lined their pockets, all of that sort of thing, planners that have been bribed. I can't find poets speaking directly to those. Let me ask you, simple question, but it'll be the last one. Why?
I think maybe it's because they're afraid that they will be ostracized, whereas I don't give a damn. I don't care if I don't become famous. I'm not looking into their golden circle. I don't care a damn for any prizes or anything like that. I have no agenda like that. Maybe that's why they probably have an agenda, and they're afraid of upsetting people or upsetting people in power, and then suffering the consequences. Whereas I don't give a damn anymore.
So perhaps you're suggesting, I'm putting words into your mouth now, a culture of collusion.
Oh, yes, absolutely. It's a culture of collusion. You know, Ireland has always, I won't say prided itself, but it's always got on by sweeping stuff under the carpet. And it's still happening. It's as bad as it ever was.
Okay, stop. Let's stop there, because that's a poet's stand on Ireland today. And, you know, the ancient filly in Ireland, they were powerful people. What they had to say about the powers that be mattered. Patrick Stack, what you have to say about the powers that be, in my opinion, matters too.
Thank you, Paul.
Right, we're going to stop there, Patrick. I mean, my God, we could have done a good hour, couldn't we?
Yeah, easily.